RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from October 1942. Death to the Laughing Clown. The 113th Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace, read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Death to the Laughing Clown. Chapter 1. Carnival of Murder. From his private office in the administration building, Mark Raines, secretary of the Great Mid-State Fair, could look out over the fairgrounds that, barren and deserted the rest of the year, was now a teeming city of thousands. Though official opening would not be until 6 o'clock the next morning, the streets were jammed with cars, trucks, and wagons. Exhibitors, concessionaires, workmen, guards, and fair officials were in a hectic flurry of last-minute preparation. Booths and tents were mushrooming everywhere. Raines could see the midway where the carnival was spreading acres of canvas, thrusting the steel skeleton of a Ferris wheel toward the night sky. Everywhere was eager anticipation for the biggest state fair in all Mid-State's history. Mark Raines grinned a little, proudly, and turned back to his desk. It looked as though Mid-State was going to break the jinx that for years had dogged it relentlessly. Rain, a premature cold wave, and strikes that had closed the factories in Mid-City, leaving people with no money to spend on fairs. There had been talk of closing the Mid-State Fair permanently, since the state, which sponsored the fair, was getting tired of making up huge deficits. But this year the fair should climb out of the red, if not set a new record. Thinking pleasantly of these things, Mark Raines riffled through the papers on his desk. His gray head was bent as his slim, strong fingers deftly sorted the notes, selecting those that required immediate attention, pushing aside others for the attention of his assistant, young Charlie Monson. Mark Raines was smiling. Then suddenly, he was starting up, the blood draining from his cheeks, the papers cascading from his lax hands. Swaying, he stared at a single white envelope that remained on his desk. It was addressed to him in a bold backhand. There was no stamp, indicating that the note had been dropped in the fair official's private box. Mark Raines sat down again heavily, picking up the envelope with shaking hands. "His handwriting," he muttered. "Then he's here, on the fairgrounds." As he withdrew the single folded sheet, Mark Raines seemed to have aged 10 years. His square shoulders were suddenly bowed. Haggard lines etched themselves into his face, and something like stark terror peered out of his red-veined eyes. He sat for a moment, as if gathering his courage, then unfolded the letter and read dully. "Mark, this is your last chance, and proof that I wasn't bluffing. There are two ways of gaining what I want. One of them is peaceably, through your cooperation. The other is by turning your fair into a carnival of slaughter. Which would you prefer? The choice, my dear sanctimonious Mark, is entirely up to you." There was no signature. Instead, a rubber stamp had inked a strange device. It was a picture.